to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come and dreams get shattered, and sometimes it's hard to understand. But things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, strongest chosen on that day, yet the giant fell and nations trembled when they stood in his way. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king.
Okay, my feet feel so much better now. I couldn't take it anymore. Usually on Sunday mornings, you know, you put the shoes on, you come up here, you sing for choir, and then I go downstairs and help with the meal that we have every Sunday for our visitors and our single people. Sometimes, as soon as I get out the door, the shoes come off. Sometimes I wait till I get to the top of the steps, then I take the shoes off. Sometimes I actually wait till I get in the kitchen. And then it's like, okay, you know that old saying, barefoot pregnant and in the kitchen? I got two of them. We're not doing that other one ever again, okay? Shannon's going to come speak to us again. The message last night really touched my heart, really spoke to exactly what the Lord had been saying to me. So I hope you all learned something from it, and she's going to come speak to us again.
How many looked in the mirror right before they came up here? Yeah, Miss Eileen caught me in the bathroom. And then, where is Tammy Mallard? Do you know what she did to me just right before? I was talking to Miss Eileen in the bathroom, and I looked down at the clock, and it said 10:46. And I thought, I've got to go. I'll be up there. Tammy Mallard comes walking in as I come out, and she said, Rachel, Rebecca, and I went to Walmart last night. We were looking for you for a chocolate pie. Great. And she said, I wanted to give this to you before you spoke. You know what they got? They have carrots in the shape of chocolate. So I like these kind of carrot sticks. It's cute. It's this little, it's just chocolate. Looks like carrots. Anyway, so thank you. I appreciate it. Today is caramel cake. We were at a church. I think it was actually the same church. And I don't know if any, Elizabeth probably knows what I'm talking about. And I know the Pittmans, where's Miss Pittman, Jennifer? I know they know what I'm talking about. When you stay in church, prophet's chambers, I mean, you know, you're getting ready for church. And they are a blessing. They are a blessing. But people come in and out, especially right before church. Well, I was coming out, getting ready to go into the service. And, you know, you're kind of rushed. You need to get in the service and talk to everybody. And I'm always like 10 minutes behind what I'm supposed to be. My husband, anyway, we deal with that frequently. But so I was in a hurry to get over there. Well, this lady comes in with this huge homemade caramel cake that was supposed to be, and it was one of those layers that has like 22 layers, you know, caramel cake. And it was for the lunch the next day. And she said, oh, you've got to try a piece of this cake. And I said, well, how about I try it after church? Because, you know, it's almost time for service. No, I want you to try it right now. And she, you know, she's, anyway, you don't want to offend. And so I said, okay, just a little sliver. So she cuts like this. I mean, by the time you get through 22 layers, the cake is this big, no matter how thin it is. So she has it on the plate. And I'm sitting there eating this cake, and she was going to stand there and watch me eat this piece of cake. And so I'm sitting there eating, kind of feeling awkward, you know, and she's talking to me. But she looks at me, and she said, you look so much like my daughter. It's scary. She said, the first time, we had been to the church several years, and she said, the first time you came, I had to do a double take. And look at the back. You look just like her. I'm going to bring a picture of her for you to see. And I'm like, okay. I'm trying to get this cake down in a hurry. And she said, you know, she struggled with weight her whole life, too. First of all, she's forcing me to eat this caramel cake. And then she's telling me I look just like her daughter that struggled with weight her whole life. Anyway, then I get carrots, too. I think the Lord's trying to tell me something. But we'll move on. What kind of woman do you look like? How do you see yourself? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what we've heard already this morning, Lord. I thank you for speaking to my heart. Lord, I thank you for Miss Stephanie's testimony and her love. I thank you for Miss Eileen and the time that she's taken to put all this together. Lord, she has a desire to see ladies learn and grow in your word, and I just thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you speak to us this morning, and please just calm my nerves, and Lord, help me to say exactly what you would like for me to say. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, last night we talked about how you see yourself, about looking into a mirror, how that when you look into that mirror, you see the way you actually are. We also saw that in the book of James, the Word of God is compared to a mirror. We need to see ourselves in the Word of God. The Bible tells us about who we are, and the more we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see the truth about who we are and who we need to be. A mirror is used for examination, and it's also used for transformation. You know, I love what Miss Stephanie said. Sometimes there are false mirrors that you can look at. You know, the world has an idea of what we all should look like. The world has an idea of how we should behave. And you'll find that the more you spend time looking at the world's views, you might find yourself becoming more worldly. I mean, do we spend more time like in good housekeeping or family circle or reading this and that doctor that said, do you know what I'm saying? You look at their views, but we need to compare our lives to the Word of God. We need to be looking in the mirror of God's words because we reflect what we're taking in all the time. When others see you, they're looking at you for your example. Others, what do we want to reflect out of our lives to others? You know, your children, they see you every day, for those of you that have children. Sarah, it's so funny. This year, the job that she has at Heartland, she's an RA at Heartland, and so she's having to deal with a lot of different responsibilities and girls coming to her. And anyway, she was in her room one day, and she shut the door, and she was getting dressed or something. A girl came and knocked on the door, and she said, I just wanted to get dressed without talking to anybody. And she said, I found myself saying, what do you need? And then she said, I sounded just like my mother. She said, I find the more and more, you know, things are coming out. That's kind of scary. You know, I heard a saying somewhere, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all. You know, that's a scary thought. If you think about it, we were driving somewhere, and Sarah is a lot like her father. You know, I'm kind of, my husband is just, he is who he is. And that's kind of how Sarah is. She's just blunt, straight to the point. And we were driving somewhere, and I'd taken a wrong turn. She said, just go this way, just go this way, just do that. I said, Sarah. Anyway, she said, Mom, you know, I've come to realize that if you can make it in life, I know I'll be okay. Sure, she was trying to say by that. But anyway, our children reflect who we really are, who we are. We also mentioned last night we should see ourselves as a sinner. And again, I ask, if there's anyone here that is not sure of their salvation, please don't be afraid to talk to someone about it. I believe a lot of church members today, I believe a lot of ladies in Christian service aren't truly saved. They have the appearance, they have the look, but they don't have it in the heart. So please, if you have any doubts, come to the Lord today. Talk to someone about it. But after we're saved, we still need to realize that we haven't arrived. Repentance should be a way of life for a Christian. Today, I would like to start in 1 John 3 and verse 1. We need to see ourselves in the mirror of God's word. We need to see ourselves as a sinner. And we also need to see ourselves as a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, once we are saved, we're born again, and we become a part of God's family. The Bible calls us a son of God. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a wonderful thing it is to be called a child of God. God is our Father. Have we taken the time to really soak that in? None of us deserve to be a child of God, but yet he loves us enough to allow us to. In Romans, it says that we can receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can talk to the Almighty God as our Father. He protects us and provides for us. I want to stress again, sometimes we feel so unworthy, but how valuable we are to God. No, we don't deserve it. We're a mess. but we are valuable to God. You know, we talked last night about He numbers the hair of our heads and the hairs on our heads. And He knows the sparrows that fall to the ground. A lady brought, I don't know how many of you read the devotion book, Call to Glory. I've seen it before, but I haven't been reading this one recently. And a lady brought it to me last night, and she had just read it a couple of days ago. And I thought I'd read it because I'd never thought about it. We were talking about your value to God last night, and I had never thought about it in this way. In Matthew 10:29, the Lord talks about the, and I'd looked at both of these verses. It talks about two sparrows being sold for a farthing. Well, then the Gospels, all they're telling the same stories, but from a different man's perspective. So the parallel scripture to that is in Luke. And the one in Luke talks about five sparrows sold for two farthings. And I had never thought about it this way until the lady brought this to me, and then I looked at it, and she was telling me about it. If two sparrows are one farthing, then it would make sense that four sparrows would be two farthings. Well, this said five sparrows were two farthings. You know, like on infomercials, they say, act now and we'll throw in, you know, pay $19.95, act now and we'll throw in this and for free. And anyway, it's kind of like that. The fifth sparrow really had no value in the world's eyes. But we'll give you five for the price of four. We'll just throw in this other sparrow. You know, if you think about that thought, in the world's eyes, we're not that valuable. You're valuable to someone, but in God's eyes, how valuable are you? The Lord said not one sparrow can fall to the ground without His notice. So how much more does He love you and I? You know, we can see ourselves in the mirror of God's Word as a child of God, but being a child of God comes with responsibilities. We need to behave like a child of God. How do you see yourself? We see ourselves as a sinner. We see ourselves as a child of God. We also need to see ourselves as a servant. The Bible says in His Word that we're a servant. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Everyone in this room is a servant. You may think, well, that's not my spiritual gift. I'm not a servant. Everyone in this room is a servant to someone or to something. Whose servant are you? We are either a servant to sin, according to the scripture, or a servant to righteousness. And God knows our heart. When you look into the mirror, which servant do you see? I don't think some Christians really realize what a privilege it is to be a servant of the King of Kings. Just think about that. When you think of the God who made the universe, we're allowed to come boldly to His throne as a child. We're also allowed to serve Him. Our service should not be a duty. Our service should be out of love for our Master. And a true servant will have the right attitude. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." In the Old Testament, if a man bought a Hebrew servant, that servant had to serve his master for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, he could be set free. We see this in the book of Exodus. Sometimes a servant would develop such love for his master. Sometimes he might have a wife and children under the household. By the time he got to that seventh year, he would decide, you know, I don't want to be free. I want to stay and serve my master. And so then, in order to signify that he has chosen to do that, the master would put him up against a door or a wall, and he would take an awl. I imagine that as some kind of long thing, and bore a hole in his ear. And then the Bible says in Exodus 21:6, it says about this kind of servant that he shall serve him forever. But that hole in his ear signifies, I wonder if that servant There were a lot of servants that did that in the Hebrew times. I wonder if those servants ever got tired of serving their master or ever felt like quitting. You know, I saw a t-shirt one time. I actually had the t-shirt. You know, a mom, a wife, a mother, a woman has a lot of different hats that she wears. You know, and this t-shirt said, I am woman, I am wife, I'm mother, chauffeur, cook, maid. And then right in the middle it says, I am tired. So a lot of us have a different little, have different things and ways that we serve, but it's easy to get tired and feel like quitting. I wonder if that servant ever got tired. But he could go and look at his reflection in the mirror and see that mark, see that hole in his ear. And it reminds him, you know, I chose to serve my master because I love him. Sometimes we'll get tired in Christian service. But let's go to the Bible and let's think about why are we truly serving the Lord? Because we have chosen that, because we love him. Some of us sometimes tend to get the Martha syndrome. Remember Mary and Martha in the Bible? The Bible says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Have you ever been serving in the church or getting things ready and you get irritated with someone else over here because you think, now, why aren't they helping? Don't they see what all we're doing here? You just tend to get irritated. Martha got a lot like that. Obviously, if we get irritated like that, we're serving with the wrong attitude. Jesus told Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. So there's a balance. We should be busy. We should be serving the Lord. But there's also a balance. Don't get so busy serving that you forget the one thing that is needful, that you forget why you're serving, that you forget to spend time with the Lord that you're serving. There's so many examples and models in the Word of God for us to look at and pattern our lives after. And like we read in James last night, we need to be hearers of the word, but we also need to be doers. Not just hear the word, but doers. We need to be obedient to the principle that we find in God's word for our lives. How do you see yourself? I'm sure that all of us at one time or another have made a phrase something like that. Well, I can never see myself doing that. She might be doing that, but I can't see myself doing that. I've learned not to say things like that. I never saw myself as an evangelist wife. We traveled for 18 years, and it was just, I don't know, it was just hard for me to see that, but God had other plans. We went into evangelism in 1995, and at first we just traveled on weekends and during the summers. Then after we had been traveling a few years, as Sarah was going into the third grade and Andrew was going into the first grade, we made the decision to start traveling full time. I don't think the full implications of that hit me right at first. You know, I'm ready, yeah, let's go. But then it hit me, oh, what? I can't homeschool. When we're on the road all the time, we had to homeschool. I'm not a teacher. I don't see myself as a teacher. And my husband said, well, you are now. I said, okay. I never saw myself as a teacher, but now we're into our 15th year of homeschooling. Sarah's graduating from college this year. Josh was graduating from high school. Caleb's in the 10th grade. I wouldn't trade those years for anything. God had other plans for my life. How many of you have ever been on an official job interview? You know, a lot of times they'll bring you in and sit you down. And the person interviewing might say, how do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, what do you say? I look back on my life just in the past 5 years and think, if I had known 5 years ago what my life would be like now, how different would I have behaved 5 years ago? You know, God sees what's inside. 5 years ago was the year 2009. Sarah had just graduated from high school, and she had made the decision to stay with us for a year, and I'm so thankful for that decision before she went off to college. Of course, all four boys were still homeschooling. We were averaging 50-something meetings a year. The Lord was so good to us. We enjoyed our time in evangelism and traveling and going from place to place. And he just grew our schedule as he felt like that we could handle it. We had just made a new CD. The kids were enjoying singing together. And then in 2010, our lives changed forever. If I could have seen that ahead of time, but you know, God knows what we can handle at the time that it comes. He doesn't let us see the full picture at once. I don't think any of us could handle it. He knows what's in our heart. God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. He sees how we are and what we will become. Sometimes when we look into that mirror, we see imperfections in our life and we know we need to make changes. But sometimes, you know, it's just too much work. We know what's in our heart. We know the changes that need to be made. I know all of you have days like this. You have to. Please tell me you do. Some days I'll get up and I think, okay, I don't have to go anywhere today. I'm going to get my house clean. I get up, you know, I glance at the mirror, kind of brush through the tangles from the night and think, okay, we're good right now. Go on about my day, you know, I'm working, not even thinking about it, no makeup, no nothing, just, you know, no hair. Anyway, so we go about our day. Well, then my husband comes home and says, well, we need to do this, I need you to go make this visit with me, and I'm thinking, he said, are you going to go fix your makeup or something? Go brush your hair, you know, and I think I had this whole day. I didn't want to work. Sometimes that transformation is a process, and we don't want to work. We don't want to go through what the Lord has for us to go through to make that transformation. He sees what experiences will help us to become. He sees what we need to grow in our lives. If we don't allow these trials and things to make us bitter, he sees that these can transform us. I remember looking into the mirror during that time right after Matthew passed away and thinking, my face will never look the same. And it's not, I don't see myself as a vain person. I mean, we all care about how we look like. But I think I'll never look the same. It seemed like my eyes were swollen for months. We ask God why. Sometimes we go through things in our life. We ask God, why does this happen? You know, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, you never question God. Never question God. We had a preacher that really helped us through that time, and he said, you know, it's okay to question. You just don't get bitter. Even Jesus on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross, Jesus questioned, even though he knew everything. He knew why he was there, but still he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's okay to question. We just don't need to let the circumstances get us bitter. If God chooses not to reveal to us why, then we need to accept that. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were facing King Nebuchadnezzar and about to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to his idol. The king gave them one more chance. He brought them before him again, and the king said, who is that God that shall deliver thee, that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to be careful about what they said in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But then the next words in the verses say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. We know that God's able to deliver us out of whatever trial we're in. We know that God raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that God performed all these miracles. But if he chooses not to deliver us, but to walk us through it, are we willing to accept that? Will we serve him anyway if he chooses not to deliver us from the trials? God sees our heart. He sees our innermost being. He knows what we need in our lives to be transformed more into the image of his Son. He can deliver us to his Son, can deliver us from our trials. But if he doesn't, are you willing to serve him anyway? I remember thinking in that night as we were in the hospital and they were trying to revive Matthew. I remember being there in that emergency room and thinking, God, can this really be happening? Things like this happen to other people. But God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. I watched my husband as he talked to everyone that had gathered in the hospital chapel that night. And then he led us in a song. There were about 50 people from our church and the ball game and everything in the emergency room that night. And he started singing, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I remember thinking, God, I don't feel like singing right now. But you know, the more we sat there and sang, the more God ministered to my soul. God knows what we need. Singing is a big part of our lives. At night, sometimes right after it happened, just music in general, sometimes I would not be able to fall asleep. I just couldn't sleep. I thought, Lauren knows, after last night, what a sound sleeper I am. I can sleep through anything. But during that time, I just was not able to go to sleep. So through the process, that's a whole nother story. I ended up with a sleep apnea machine, and then I had music on my iPod. So I would go to sleep each night. Am I running? Sorry. Anyway, you know, I've learned sometimes you just have to cry. And sometimes you just talk through and let the tears flow and go on with life. Anyway, so to go to sleep, I had this mask around my nose. I had earphones in my ears listening to music and would lay down in a certain position. My husband's like, I hope we don't have a fire. I hope you don't have to. I wouldn't know how to unplug you. You're all wired. You're all wired up. Anyway, so do I understand the trial that the Lord put us through? No, not really. I don't. I can't give you an answer. But I do know that God has allowed this in our lives. And I know our family has been able to minister in ways that we would not have been able to minister before. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly. You know, Miss Stephanie was talking about sometimes we look in a mirror and it's dirty and we can't see our reflection. You know, sometimes you're maybe trying to catch your reflection like in a car window or something and just can't get the just can't get the light. What? I was sorry, I did stop. Okay, thanks for the Kleenex. Can we mute just for a second? Okay, anyway. Sometimes, Sometimes we look in that glass and it's just dark. We can't see. There's no light there. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. We can see some things now, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. We may not see the full image now, but one day God will allow us to know. Now here it is, 2014, 5 years later. The Lord's done a lot of changing in our lives in the past 5 years. My husband Tim's now the pastor of a church. We no longer well, every once in a while we travel out. We were just at the Mallards last week and had a good time there. But he's the pastor of a church now. Sarah's graduating from college. Andrew's married to a wonderful young lady. Matthew's been in heaven for 4 years now. I can only imagine the things he's seen and the things he's enjoying. Baby Caleb has turned 16 and is driving. <It's> scary. Anyway, I look into the mirror now. I see a pastor's wife, a mother-in-law. Have I mentioned I'm going to be a grandma? I'm so excited. Miss Rena Brown and I will get to see our little grandson in August. I'm so excited about that. I never saw myself as a grandma either, but I'm excited. But I'll just be honest. I look into the mirror, and I see a woman with a lot of imperfections. I see a woman with a lot of pride and insecurities. I think if we'll be honest with ourselves, we know our heart. God knows our heart. And I see a woman that likes a good chocolate pie and chocolate covered and carrots, whatever these are. But I'm trying to eat more carrot sticks. But more importantly than all that, I want to look in the Word of God and see myself how God sees me. I can almost hear him asking, do you see what I see? Do we look into the mirror and see what God sees? I know he sees potential in each and every lady here. I know he sees that we can be better than we are right now. Are we willing to work to go through that transformation process? For the glory of God. Like it says in James 1:25, I want to continue in the law of liberty and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I know sometimes it can be painful, but I want to be conformed to the image of his son. I love the song that they sang, Hide Me Behind the Cross. In the end, when I look into the mirror of God's word and allow him to work on all of my imperfections, I don't want others to see me. That should all be our attitude. I don't want others to see me. I want others to see Christ. Hide me behind the cross. When we look into our mirror and get ready for the day, are we getting ready for the glory of God? Who are we trying to please? When we look into God's word, you know, sometimes we can look in his word and think, okay, I need to do this and this and this. I need to be this good Christian so everybody will see how good of a Christian I am. Well, if they're seeing you, then we've missed the whole point. The goal of being in the Bible is to look in his mirror, see how we can change, to become more like the image of his son, and for others to see Christ. So how about you? How do you see yourself?